Right now, it's time for our weekly Wisconsin News Roundup, checking in with reporters around the state. First, the state's Joint Finance Committee met yesterday debating a plan to boost public defender pay. It also signed off on a legal settlement involving the state, the first time it's done so since getting the power to do that from laws signed late last year. Laurel White is WPR State Capitol reporter. Laurel, hi.
Hi, Rob.
Let's start with this conversation about public defender pay. Until recently, Wisconsin paid its public defenders less than any other state. What's the Joint Finance Committee looking at here?
So the Joint Finance Committee is looking at doing another bump to public defender pay in Wisconsin. They already did a little bit in the state budget, but not as much as they did for assistant district attorneys, prosecutors in Wisconsin. So a number of public defenders came to the Capitol to testify and say, hey, we really feel like we need parity as public defenders with prosecutors in Wisconsin. Under this proposal that's up for consideration, it'd be a lot closer to that.
Was there pushback to that idea?
Not that we heard of during the committee on, earlier this week. I think, this is something that the state has been grappling with for quite a while. We've had really low pay for public defenders. We've had a pretty low rate for hiring private lawyers to be public defenders as well. That was something that lawmakers also made a change to in the state budget. They increased it from $40 an hour to $70 an hour. That previous rate was the lowest in the country. So I think because of the extent of this conversation and the amount of time lawmakers have been talking about it, there's been some consensus built.
Staying with legal issues and joint finance, Laurel, the Budget Committee approved the first legal settlement for the state since it got that power from laws signed before Governor Evers and Attorney General Call were sworn in. Can you remind us about the confusion that those laws seem to have caused in terms of settling lawsuits?
So kind of the push and pull here is between the Democratic Attorney General, Josh Call, and the Joint Finance Committee. Call has said that he can't share information about a number of pending legal settlements because it would violate confidentiality requirements that are put in place in a number of legal agreements. And he's asked lawmakers, hey, would you sign non-disclosure agreements so I can share this information with you legally? Lawmakers don't want to do that because it's a public meeting. They say they have transparency requirements as state legislators. So there's been kind of an impasse here in terms of how lawmakers are going to get the information about these potential settlements. Well, this week we saw a little bit of a change because they were able to take up this one case. But it's kind of a unique case because both parties agreed to lift any confidentiality so lawmakers could discuss this openly and publicly about, coming to an agreement about a settlement.
But other settlements might not be able to waive that confidentiality, and they're still up in the air, it sounds like.
Absolutely. So it would be up to the discretion of the individuals involved in the lawsuit, whether they were comfortable with making a similar decision. Of course, we don't know who would choose to do that or not. We know that there are more than a dozen cases that are kind of queued up within the State Department of Justice that are pending settlements with the state, some of which could get the state millions of dollars. So this is something that lawmakers and the Attorney General are going to have to figure out if they're going to take those up.
Laurel, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter. She gave us some updates from yesterday's meeting in the state's Joint Finance Committee. Now, Green Bay's mayor has put forth his proposed budget for the city. It includes a new position, resilience coordinator. Rob Menser is a WPR News reporter based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
Mayor Eric Genrich of Green Bay has proposed creating this city resilience coordinator. What would this person do?
So this would be focused on sort of dealing with the effects of climate change as the city of Green Bay experiences them. That is sort of most visibly seen in Green Bay has had serious problems with flooding just this year. They've had the wettest year on record in 2019, and it resulted in some pretty serious floods in the spring. But even in there was flooding in the fall and at other times they've dealt with that. So Genrich wants this resilience coordinator to look at options for green infrastructure, which could help to catch some of the rainwater and prevent flooding, but also to coordinate with neighboring communities, with the county government on looking at sort of like this as a watershed issue, and then also to look at broader sort of renewable energy goals for the city and other types of changes that Green Bay could make.
And how are they talking about paying for this?
So this is proposed as only 25% of it would be for in this budget would come from sort of city funding, and it's that's funded out of the stormwater utility, and there's another 75% that would be funded with private grants. And of course, that's always – you don't know for sure if the city would receive the grants. But Genrich said that they've they're pretty confident that they'd be able to reach that funding mark.
Is there a timeline for a final decision on this?
The city's finance committee discussed it this week and didn't make changes to the proposal. And it'll go before Green Bay City Council on Tuesday.
Switching gears, Rob, I want to follow up on something we talked about a few weeks back, the fundraising effort to save the historic Fox Theater in Stevens Point from demolition. Looks like bad news for organizers of that effort.
Yeah, bad news indeed. The renovation efforts, the nonprofit group that was working on that was not able to come to an agreement with the city on an appropriate timeline for renovations, and they have, as a result, abandoned their efforts to renovate the space. And the city engineers say that it needs to come down before the snow falls in quantities. So it is likely to face the wrecking ball in coming weeks.
The building is going. Is there still going to be an effort to make the kind of hub that they were, a cultural hub that they were hoping to use that building for?
Absolutely, and that is something that the mayor of Stevens Point is a strong advocate for, and it will be in fact in the same space as the plans go. It'll still be in that downtown spot, but the historic building, the 1894 theater that has been there and has been vacant for a long time, that building will not be the home to it.
Rob, thanks a lot for the updates.
All right, thank you.
Rob Metzer is WPR's reporter based in Wausau. He told us about the fate of the Fox Theater in Stevens Point and a proposal in Green Bay to hire a city resilience coordinator. Now we head to southeastern Wisconsin, where the Racine County Board recently voted down a resolution that would have made all board members ineligible for health insurance benefits. Currently, 10 of the 21 supervisors can get coverage from the county. Ricardo Torres is a reporter for the Racine Journal-Times. Ricardo, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get to the vote that happened this week, give us some background. How did the Racine County Board get to this point where about half of its 21 members are eligible for health insurance benefits?
So in 2011, the Racine County Board passed a resolution that basically said any new county board members starting in 2012 would not be allowed to have health insurance. And the old board members, those that were on the board in 2011 and before, would be able to still keep their health insurance. And so over the years, over the last 8 years, as new county board members went on and other county board members left or were defeated at the polls, the number of county board members on the health insurance started ticking down. And so over these last 8 years, that's how it went from 20 board members having health insurance to now 10 having the ability of being eligible to have health insurance.
Part of the concern is this is still, it sounds like, a decent chunk of the county board's budget. Is that right?
Of the budget, yes. But of the county budget overall, it's less than 1% of what the actual county budget is. But of the county board budget, it's still a pretty significant chunk, about a third. And that's just on like what is being paid for these county board supervisors. County employees across the board in Racine are going to see an increase in their health insurance payment, and county board supervisors are also feeling that increase as well if they stay on the board. So there's been quite a bit of health changes here in Racine.
And now we have one board member making a proposal to get rid of health insurance for everybody, even the people who are sort of, I guess, grandfathered in under the old system. What was the case they made for getting rid of this?
The case they made, it was Supervisor Janet Bernberg. She was saying that unlike county employees, county board supervisors aren't full-time, that they aren't putting in the 40 hours or 30 hours a week to do their jobs. And what the response was that some board members say, although we don't clock in for 40 hours a week, we are on call 24/7. You know, we have constituents calling us. We do our homework going into committee meetings, going into board meetings. And so it's not a typical 40-hour a week job, but there was some disagreement as to, you know, what is actually full-time when it comes to a county board supervisor. And the resolution was defeated at the committee of the whole, and so it doesn't seem like it'll be going forward again at this point, but it's possible. I did talk to Supervisor Bernberg after the meeting, and she did say that she plans to propose a similar resolution in the future.
Ricardo, thanks for bringing us up to date.
Thanks for having me.
Ricardo Torres is a reporter for the Racine Journal-Times. He talked to us about the Racine County Board voting to keep health insurance coverage available to supervisors elected prior to 2012. He wrapped up our weekly roundup of news from around the state.